There's women out there that have no voice in the whole world, and they are spending their whole day trying to spread their message, which is such a good message, like about women's rights and things like that. But they don't have a platform because they weren't a model, or, you know, they don't have nice clothes and they can't post all their nice things. And then there's girls that have this huge platform and they're posting things that are literally so demoralizing that it's like you're literally standing on the head of this person that is working their ass off to promote this message, and you don't even care.
Hello and welcome to this In Conversation episode of Shameless. Today we are joined by the marvellous Laura Henshaw. For those unacquainted, Laura is an entrepreneur, a law student, Instagram influencer, published author, and all-round ray of sunshine. We caught up with Laura in her beachside home to talk about life in the public eye and how she's starting to find her political voice. Here's Laura.
Laura Henshaw, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you.
I think you are the number one requested guest.
Yes. Oh,
I'm not kidding.
So nice.
On our Facebook group, whenever we ask people who they want on the show, someone will comment Laura Henshaw, and that comment will get about 200 likes.
Oh, well, thanks, guys.
Giving the people what they want.
I think I kind of feel, and this is, you're going to think I'm really strange for thinking this, but
probably.
When I was younger, the only show I was allowed to watch was Home and Away. So Home and Away actresses and actors to me were like, oh my God, they're so cool. And I feel like because you guys are always in my car, having you in my house in real life is like having my Home and Away actors in my house. And it's cool.
You're right. Three of us, Zara and I, are more famous than you for sure.
Yes, true. Bow down, please.
Hey, Laura, we start every episode, as you know, with the same question. What is it that you've been reading, watching, or listening to this week?
Well, apart from you guys, mm-hmm. I do finish your episode literally in the hour after you upload it.
I feel like people feel obliged to say that.
It's
give
true.
Us something else. What else?
So I'm reading a book. It's called Hunger by Roxane Gay, and I'm really loving it. It's been like, have you read it?
I've heard of it a lot, and yeah. I've heard great things about it, but I haven't read it myself.
I'm not finished yet. I'm about halfway, but it's been just really interesting to hear. Her story is quite a sad story. It's really nice that she's sharing it, but how sexual abuse can lead to such a poor relationship with your body. And I'd never, ever, ever thought about it from that point of view. And I don't know what it is about the book, but it's really got to me. And I literally have just been very teary while I've been reading through a lot of it. And especially about diet culture and how it can be so in your face and pushing the message of thin equals happy in your face when you've gone through something like that. And how you can never connect with it, and exercise is always a punishment, and yeah, it's really interesting to hear it from her.
Do you think it's because you have a great relationship with health and exercise, and you love that, so just to hear a different perspective is jarring for you?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think so. Because I've never thought about that. And obviously anyone that has followed me on social media, if you get on, I'm like, hey guys, so you have to go for a workout this morning because you're going to feel really good. And yeah, I think it has just made me think even more about how important it is to have self-love before you then want to start your health journey, because it's all connected, and exercise and eating well is not a punishment. It needs to be something you do out of respect for your body. So yeah, it's just been really interesting. I really recommend it.
What about Netflix? Anything? Do you watch stuff?
Yeah.
You don't look like a watcher.
I'm a watcher.
What is someone who looks like a watcher looks like?
Laura looks like she's running all the time or something. She's always outside at the beach.
I do.
Adventure girl.
Especially during uni. So I haven't started uni again yet. So that's why I'm reading. I feel like once I get into uni, I feel guilty if I'm not reading a uni book. So I just don't read much at all.
Yeah.
But I've actually, Dalton and I have been watching Yummy Mummy.
Oh my God, you haven't.
Dalton likes it more than me. And I think it's because I met the Melbourne girls before, and it's on Netflix now, and it's really just hilarious. And there's an Adelaide mum on there. It's kind of like watching a reality TV show, like the drama, but it's a little bit not, I don't know how to explain it. I feel better about watching that than watching The Bachelor or something like that.
Really?
But yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
I'm judging you from across.
I'm not. I'm always after like an okay reality show, like an underrated reality show.
So you just have a laugh. You absolutely have a laugh. The Adelaide mum, she only dresses her child in designer clothes. Like just insane. Like the blankets are like, what's her favourite? Amani. I think Amani is her favourite. And her whole house is designer wallpaper. And it's just so like, I cannot relate to it in any way, this Adelaide mum whatsoever. It's so far from me that I just find it hilarious. So,
and I like it when those characters are also painted in a really likeable way, where it's like, I would never do this shit. I don't understand it, but also I wish I could hate you, but I can't. Is it like that too? Or you do?
Only for some of them.
So diplomatic.
Hey, Laura, tell us about you as a kid. What were you like?
Oh, that's a good question. I was sporty. You know, yeah. I've always liked running. I am from my parents divorced when I was in year 7, I think. So that was probably the hardest thing that I went through during high school. I didn't tell anyone for 2 years about that. I was just so embarrassed because back then it wasn't very normal to have that. And I went to a all-Catholic girls' school, so that was really good. I love school sport. I'm not naturally smart at all, but I've always been a really hard worker with my studies, and I think sport has really helped me with that. I learned that it's like with running, I was never a good runner, but when I trained, I got better.
Discipline,
and so, yeah. I think definitely you can translate your discipline from your sporting and running and things into school, so I did that. And then I finished year 12, and I had originally wanted to do dietetics. I've always been really passionate about health. My subjects I did in year 12, like PE and health and some other ones and biology. And then I got my ATAR back and I got a score good enough to get into law. So then I was like, I have to do law. I'd never done legal. I was so bad at English. You know, Michelle.
I do not know. For anyone wondering about the backstory there, I worked with Laura in the Keep It Cleaner office for a little bit, helping you guys with copywriting and stuff. Laura is a great writer. She doesn't give herself enough credit.
I just can't get words out as big as you can. Anyway, so I decided to do law, which at the time, for the first year, I absolutely hated it. I had no idea. I was so embarrassed. In law, there's a lot of mature age students, so half my class or even more was mature age. Here I was, 18, didn't really care about uni, kind of was going there because I felt like I had to and I should do law, and I didn't even know what a barrister was. I didn't know the different court systems. I didn't know everything, so I couldn't talk in class. I literally sat there and didn't say anything because I was too embarrassed. But now I really enjoy my studies and it's changed a bit.
When you say, going back to saying you weren't a natural runner but you had discipline and wanted to train yourself, you weren't maybe a natural student but you wanted to work hard, where do you think that came from? Do you think, like, was that really drilled in for you as a kid, or do you think you were just born that way?
That's a really good question. I'm probably going to say that everything you say to me. I have to go through and edit it out, like Laura said that I had a time. I would say it's a combination. I think I have learned, something that's really been really pivotal in, I think, who I am today is having to work for everything that I have. So since I was 14 and 9 months, I had a job. I worked at Subway. I paid for everything since I was 15. Like, when I wanted to do my deb, my mum was like, that's okay, but like, we financially can't do it. So if you want to do it, you have to save for your dress and buy it. And I had to save my own car. And I think that has been something that really helped me, because I have learned that if you work hard, you can do things if you're not given them, where the discipline comes in. And that's why I think I struggled so much, especially in the modelling industry, because it's the only industry, one of the only industries where hard work doesn't actually equate to success. So that is now something that I'm not really doing anymore, which is great, unless it's a client that I like love, and like Jagged, for example, and books me for me. But yeah, with my studies and work, I've always applied that. And I think that's something that I learned from having to work for things.
So where did the modelling come into it? How old were you? Were you scouted? Asking for a friend? Michelle wants to know.
It's a very common question. So I was asked a few times when I was younger, and mum was like, oh, you have to finish school before you do it, which is fine. But when you're younger, like, modelling seems like the coolest thing ever, because there was girlfriend model search and all those things. But I started properly when I was about 19. I was at my friend's barbecue and someone who owned an agency was there, and it was actually a promotional agency. And I ended up signing with them, and then I did Fashion Week. And after doing Fashion Week, I changed to more of a modelling agency because I wasn't really a promo kind of look. And so I did that I've only just really stopped probably the past year really doing it after one casting experience where I was like, I just can't do this anymore. But it was good. It was a really good job for me during university, I think, because it's, you work less hours and it's great money. But to do it full time, I just can't. There's only probably 3 girls in Melbourne who can work full time because there's just not enough work. And it does put a lot of mental pressure on you.
Mm. How does it feel for your appearance to be so ingrained with your worth when you are a model? So that's a lot of pressure on someone to feel 100%. Like every day you wake up and your work will just depend on what you were born with, really?
Well, that's why I think I stopped. So I went to this casting and it was no one's fault except my own fault. I was casting for a TV commercial and I went in and I'd had meetings back to back all day. So I was wearing like a suit, like not, you know, some type of suit wear. And I get in there and all the girls are like perfectly presented. I was disheveled and they had summer dresses on and I was sitting there like, oh God, I've got to get out of here. Like I've got another meeting. And I finally got called in and the lady was like, oh, did you read the brief? Like you were meant to be in a summer dress. And I was like, a summer dress? Like how can I wear a summer dress? Like I've just been to this meeting. And anyway, I was like, oh, sorry. And then she was like, okay, so have you done much acting before? Like commercial kind of work? And I was like, oh, no, I haven't. And she's like, oh, well, maybe you should practice if this is your job. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then I'd also had to have written my measurements down on the page and to kind of just be seen as a model for what I looked like and my measurements. And she didn't ask me anything. I was like, why aren't you asking me about my job? Like, don't you care? Like, I've got this business and that's my worth. And of course she didn't care because it was a modelling job and it was about what I looked like. And so I left that and I called my agent and I said, I'm so, so sorry. And I'm still with him now. He's fantastic, but he just works with me on other stuff. I can't do this anymore because to be only valued for what I looked like in that moment, that's what the industry is. And at the time, like I had so many insecurities, especially with social media, like what I posted. I never wanted to post something where I looked that was unflattering or anything because I was so worried a client would see it and then not book me because they'd seen that image.
Oh God, it's so much pressure.
How do you grow out of that then? Because I imagine when from such a young age you're told that your currency is in your looks, mm-hmm. and you're so aware of your measurement sizes. I mean, a lot of young girls wouldn't even know what those numbers mean and that's your job.
Yeah.
How do you grow out of that? Is it finding things that you like passions, moving into the health and fitness sphere? Is that what it was?
I think it was a combination between I didn't work very much. I'm not a very strong model. You kind of just have to be honest about it. I'm not really
strong
commercially.
You're a stronger model than Zara and I are.
I'm not that strong commercially and I'm not that strong editorially. And so I didn't get that much work. And then when I started to kind of do other work with jobs like Jagged, which was still modelling but it was being booked for me and talking roles. And
like an ambassadorship.
Yeah, yeah. And my work with Keep It Cleaner, I was like, I find this so rewarding and modelling just filled nothing for me anymore. Like it just personally just wasn't something that made me feel good, I suppose. And that's kind of where I decided that I was not going to. But it did take a long time. And also with social media, I feel like it's a tough thing because I feel like I had model in my bio I've taken it out. Yes. I had it in my bio for probably 3 years. And I think 100% the reason that people might have started following me 3 years ago is because I was a model and people want to know what models eat. And so it's hard because I don't like, I'm really, I suppose, grateful that I might not be in the position that I am now if I didn't do it, which is really sad.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. But I no longer define myself as a model or I'm proud of it. And that's what, I mean, that was my bio, model and student.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, that's not what I am. So
that's
I'm taking
so interesting. Something that Zara and I have dealt with over the past few months in particular is we're obviously way, way smaller than your brand and Steph Claire Smith's brand, obviously. How do you deal with being identified as a duo? Because Zara and I personally went through a bit of a teething phase where we're like, people know us together and how do I fit into this? Do people, I guess it's like Hamish and Andy, do people like Hamish more? What role do I play in this? It's a really difficult situation. So I am curious, with you and Steph, how does that operate being a duo?
I think because we are so different, I've never felt like that before. I think Steph and I are polar opposites. We have our own work outside of Keep It Cleaner. But then when we come into Keep It Cleaner, the girls in our community are so supportive and loving and no one will ever write like, I think recently someone accidentally didn't tag Steph in something and just sent it to me and they were like, oh, Laura, I loved your workout. And they didn't say anything about Steph. She was like, whoa, like as a joke, like, oh, geez, what did I do this week? But obviously that was just a joke. So it's actually at the start maybe a tiny bit, but because we both have our own thing and, you know, I've got my uni and Steph's got Soda Shades and Midnight as well, her businesses, and then the Keep It Cleaner community has never, ever, ever said, I like this person better or I like that person better because they are so supportive. I don't think we have felt it so much, which is good and probably why we work so well together.
Mm. How was it going from both of you, going from modelling and then launching Keep It Cleaner in the influencer community or influencer culture? A lot of people probably only really get now. How did you find with credibility? I mean, you were wanting to move from one space into another. Was it crossing your mind? Were you just thinking, I'm just going to put my head down and eventually the work will show? What was crossing your mind through, and was it at all?
When we started Keep It Clean.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I think that's been one of the biggest things, and some people still say, oh, Laura is a fitness blogger. Like, I haven't written a blog post in, you know, like, I'm not a fitness blogger. And that's something, and Steph as well, like, oh, these are fitness Instagram models. We still get that, and that's always going to be the case. But we know that we are, and it's fine if you are that. That's totally fine, but that's not what we are. And I think we know that. And at the start, it was really hard to kind of push past that and have to re-explain to everyone. But I think as long as the close people around you see you as what and know what you're doing, that's the most important thing. But it was hard, and it's why we've been so careful with our program and having a PT and a nutritionist and a dietitian all behind it, because it is so important. Because as you guys always speak about, it's one of my favorite parts about your podcast is there are a lot of pages where they don't think about the responsibility and the consequences of the information that they're putting out there. So I think by making a business out of it, especially, which everyone technically has because they're a personal brand, but especially with what we do, it's so important that we are so careful of that, because it can be so dangerous and it's really unmonitored.
I think that's one thing as well that potentially some people out there who follow you both don't realize. Like, you guys have a fully fledged operating business with many arms going out of it. You have your own office, you have your own staff. So when people minimize you to Instagram influencer, which is fine, like, you can call someone that, that's fine. But really, you guys are entrepreneurs / business women.
Thank you.
And you're very hardworking.
Case closed, interview over.
No, but this is the thing. It's like, true. I think after spending time, I always knew that Steph and Laura were hardworking, but I don't think I realized to the degree until I spent time around you both. And your schedules, I will always remember looking at your calendar on the wall when you were going through the next month. And I actually couldn't believe it, like, how many trips you had to do interstate and how every single day, including weekends, for example, you're launching your Jagged line tomorrow on a Sunday. Like, there's so much stuff that you do every day of the week, because that's what it's like when you have your own business, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it's, I think we are so, Keep It Clean, iconic. The community is the biggest motivator. If I ever feel unmotivated, I don't get motivation from myself. I'll get it from our community. So I think because we are so lucky to be doing what we're doing, it's not even a question if we would keep doing it. And now that we've got a team as well, I mean, I feel like our team is working so hard on the business, which is so cool. So we can't just not show up or not work hard, because it's like, why would they work hard if we're not there? So I think that's been a big help as well.
I'm interrupting this episode because I have a very sneaky request to make without Zara's permission. I am just editing this, so I'm coming to you from the future. The Australian Podcast Awards close tonight, and we are only a couple of hundred votes behind top place. If you're not familiar, Zara and I are independent podcasters who do this from a tiny little space in the suburbs of Melbourne. If you want to support us, please go give us a vote via the link in our show notes. Zara will kill me for offering this, but if we do manage to win the OzPod Awards popular vote, I will personally remix her little rendition of Cash Me Outside, How About That, and sneak it into every episode of Shameless for the next month against her will. I will remix it. I've never remixed anything before. We'll just make it happen. Zara, if you do hear this when the episode goes live, I'm sorry, but also not really. Okay, I'm going to go. But if you want a little remix of Zara being an embarrassment to everyone, it is up for grabs. You just need a vote for us, please. Coming up after the break, we chat to Laura about the women she admires and her legacy. But first, a word from our sponsors.
With the modeling, with the Instagram, and now with the business, you guys, obviously you have quite a profile now. Like, people know who you are, which I imagine must seem super weird. How have you sort of navigated that? Was there a point where you realized, fuck, people know who I am and I don't know if I like this or not?
No, I've been lucky. Most of the people that know who I am are just girls from our community. And it's so nice. Like, when they come up and see us, it's not like a, oh my God, I love you. It's just a, hey, Laura, how are you? I'm like, oh my goodness, do I know you from uni? Or where? Like, have I met you before? And then they're like, after we talk for a few minutes, they're like, oh, I'm a Kit girl. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank goodness, because I couldn't remember you and I'm so sorry. And it's, we're really lucky because the people that do look up to us are really, really kind. And I think they also have been the reason how with my confidence. They've helped me so much with my confidence. So I know something that you guys always talk about, and Michelle, we speak about a bit, is trolls and how to deal with them. Mm. And it's hard, but I find I've got to a point now, like with my physical appearance, if someone messages me and says any, you could think of any kind of negative thing you could say to me about my appearance and I would laugh. I could not care less. I'm still working on being attacked for things that I do. But personally, like my physical appearance, I could not care less if someone says anything about it. And I don't mind, you know, before I used to not post anything unedited or not a perfect image. And now I don't mind because the community, the way that it helps them when I do post and stuff as well, something that's real and relatable, they kind of just make it feel like I want to post that all the time for them because it helps people. And yeah, so we are really lucky in that way.
How do you handle that criticism that hurts? Because obviously stuff comes in and I imagine it's a process getting used to it too.
The stuff that gets to me is when they attack Keep It Cleaner or something that I've done or a brand I've worked with or an opinion that I have. And I will kind of, I think at the start I'm so angry because I'm like, you don't know me. I've worked so hard to get here. Like, how dare you bring me down and ruin my day? Because usually it will ruin my day. And also, you never know which ones are going to get to you. Some of them don't and some of them do and there's no equation. I don't know why. And then it's also the kind of the sad feeling of like, oh, okay, maybe did I do the wrong thing? Did I make the wrong decision? And I start questioning myself and my confidence and what I do. And especially because Keep It Cleaner is all about confidence. If someone messages me and says, you are a reason that women like question how they look about themselves, I'm like, oh my God, I can't be that reason because this is exactly against what I do. And then I start to question what I do and it's just like a back and forth thing in my head. But I have learnt from Steph to block and delete. I used to reply, sometimes I do, and just say, hey, thank you for your feedback, just letting you know, like, this is why I did this. But sometimes you'll find that people just keep coming back at you and there's nothing you can do, and the best thing is just to get rid of them because you can't please everyone.
It's such a good point though, because I know I have had this conversation with Michelle before, like if we have ever got a comment that directly takes aim at what the podcast is about and the reason that we do it, then I've said to her before, if this is the kind of commentary, like if I get this again, I'm not doing it, because it's not that, what's the point? Like if the point is for us to do one thing and people are accusing us of not doing it well enough, then I don't want to be a stain on, you know, whatever it is. And I imagine for you, it's hitting right that insecurity that you're trying to do one thing and people are accusing you of not doing it well enough.
Exactly right. And you cannot explain to everyone why you're doing something or, you know, so that's why sometimes I do try and keep some things private because I just, and it's something that when I was listening to your In Conversation episode with Annie, which was amazing, and she's like so fearless and puts all this stuff out there, and it's something that I am slowly growing my confidence to be able to share my opinion. The amount of times I've written something and then I read it and then I read it to Dalton and he's like, oh, you know, people are going to come back and say this and are you ready for people to say that? I'm like, oh, I don't know, I'll sleep on it. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm just not going to post it. She's got a lot of confidence to do that and it's really cool. And I think it's something that I'm slowly growing my confidence in because it is, because, and you guys are the same, you're in the mainstream media and it's hard to push the boundaries because there's a lot of backlash. But what I love about your podcast is that you are having educated conversations. So you're not just saying, oh my God, she looks ugly, which of course you would never say. No one should ever say that.
We so would.
No, you wouldn't. No one would ever say that. No one in the community or anything. Or, oh my God, she did the wrong thing. But you just talk about the issue. And I think you also educate people about it, both sides. Then when they come into your community and discuss it, most of the time it's an actually really good discussion that and people can learn from it.
I think it's so funny you say that. Mm. We were going to ask you about this.
As you're talking about this, I smiled at Michelle and then I was like, fuck, Laura's going to think I'm a bitch. Yeah. You're not listening.
We have even noticed that in you, I think, where you want to call out things more, or even just share your opinion on things more.
Yes. Yeah. So I definitely noticed a shift in like a very slow shift in what you are starting to post.
Mm-hmm. What is the stuff, obviously never naming names, but what is the type of stuff where you feel like it personally affects you and that you would mm-hmm. want to speak up about it?
I think it's anyone speaking to young girls and just doing the wrong thing. I mean, there was a video that was posted online a few weeks ago and I was texting Michelle about it. I was so upset. I started crying.
Sounds like we text all the time.
What is wrong? Like I literally, it was 11:30 at night and it just wound me up and I was like, I cannot believe that this person has done this. Like, as I think you say it all the time, Zara, is you don't have to do good. You're not responsible for being an advocate for things. And I don't think that every, you know, 19-year-old girl that has 10,000 followers based on what she posts should have to say good things. But I feel like if you're not going to stand for anything, that is so fine. And no, you shouldn't have that responsibility. But if you are in a position where you have close to a million followers or even like more than 1,000 followers or any followers really, you can't be putting things out there that are demoralizing to women and things that are just negative for the girls that are following you, because it can be so dangerous. And it's one of those things that's like, this thing really got to me, because I was like, there's women out there that have no voice in the whole world, and they are spending their whole day trying to spread their message, which is such a good message, like about women's rights and things like that, but they don't have a platform because they weren't a model, or you know, they don't have nice clothes and they can't post all their nice things. And then there's girls that have this huge platform and they're posting things that are literally so demoralizing that it's like you're literally standing on the head of this person that is working their ass off to promote this message, and you don't even care. And maybe they don't have to care, but they just have to not post things that are irresponsible. And I just, that's my biggest thing, is people not thinking about the consequences of what they post, and things like even posting things sometimes, if like posting things that are really expensive and you haven't tried it, like that's really hard, because it's like I think back to me when I was 15 and how much I looked up to people, and I would never want, you know, to post about something and then a girl to go and spend, every time I post about something I'm like, okay, someone could be earning $11 an hour. Well, I actually used to earn $6.70.
That seems legal.
Training wage as a sandwich artist.
Yes.
$6.70 an hour, and how many hours is it going to take for them to work it to do that? So I think it's really just important to be very conscious of what you're posting. And I don't think you can be, as you always say, you can't be responsible for everything and you can't stand for everything. But I just do think that you have to be wary about what you're putting out there and the consequences.
Completely. Just that idea of do no harm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
You have done so much, like so much in your career so far. Don't laugh at that, because you have, in our little blurb at the very beginning, we'll rattle off everything you've done, and it's a lot. How do you define success though? Do you think you're successful? And if you don't think you are there yet, what is success to you?
I feel successful, yes. I feel successful when I log into our community and I see a girl that used to have a really bad relationship with food and exercise, and she hasn't, like maybe she's lost a few kilos, but she doesn't care about that. She's happy and she's loving exercise and she's loving eating well, because she's respecting her body and she loves herself more and she respects herself in her job, and she asked for a pay rise, which she never had confidence to do before. Like, that is what makes me feel successful, in that we started a community that no longer is something that, I mean, it's like with you guys, like I feel that when your community grows to a point, like it's not about Steph and I anymore. Mm. It's the girls supporting each other. And I think that to me feels like I am successful in that, right? But I think something that, I don't know if it's just my mind or something, but I feel like with Keep It Clean, there's never a point. I mean, if you told me 5 years ago, like what I would be doing, I'd be like, oh my God, I could retire. Like that would be amazing. Like I don't need a work. Like I would just work on that for the rest of my life and it would be all good because, you know, the business is going well. But I have never, ever, ever, ever got to a point where I'm like, okay, well, that's done now. People,
yeah, like
I think
off
you
the
just
accelerator.
Want to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And last year was such a big year for us. Like we were literally told that we couldn't do what we were going to do, and there was no way we could do it. And good luck to us. And it was funny that we thought that we could do it, and we went and we did it. And I think that for Steph and I has been a really big drive. But then the thing is, once you get to there, you're not thinking about that person in the past that told you you couldn't do it. You're just focusing on the future. So I think with Keep It Clean, and we just, there's never a point where we will be happy and feel like it's done, because and we've succeeded and we stop, because we just want to keep making it better and offering more value and improving it and helping girls, because I think there's 25 million people in Australia. Obviously, I don't know what the percentage of boys and girls
and at
is.
Least 12 girls.
12.5.
And then some of those are girls and then some of them are young, and that's the market we want.
Exactly right. But there's a lot more people that we can reach and help. So yeah.
What do you think the biggest misconception is about you?
Or even about Keep It Clean Up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if there's a lot of, maybe because I am naive and I don't listen to a lot of it, but I mean, the biggest conception about with Keep It Cleaner would be that we are a weight loss program, and we are not.
Which I will say, I've gone through the entire program because I had to write it.
I had to write it.
It does not mention, purposefully, does not mention weight loss. It does not mention any kind of reduction of size or anything. It's just about what women want to do. It's about getting strong and fit.
Yeah, and that's what we've wanted to do, and we're really proud of that. And we get messages from girls being like, oh my god, I've just gone through your program and I can't find one word to do with losing weight, and I've never found anything like this
and
before.
That was on purpose, you guys told me.
100%. Yeah. That's our brand. But in saying that, it's been hard, because if you go to any Facebook advertising company or speak to anyone, the way you sell a fitness program is by saying you can lose 5 kilos in 1 week, or which is no one should ever do that, by the way. It's very unhealthy. And
See, look how cognizant you are of what you say, though.
You can't be doing that. But that, like, or something like, look at this transformation picture. And sometimes we share people's transformation pictures that we don't ask them, and we don't, when we share them, it's not about the photo, it's about what they say and how they feel. And so for us, I'm really proud that we've got to where we are with the program and grown it to where it is without having to fall back on, you know, you're going to be happy because you're thin, because it's not. No, it's not correlated. No, it's not going to work. And not go doing that, and just literally being at a, we thought we had a good idea for a health program, and just going with it and not giving in to what I suppose society says we should in the diet world and what's going to work. Because we just stuck to what we believed in.
How would you hope people would describe you then? Because I am very interested in how people like define themselves, or how would they hope, like, what would you hope people would say about you?
You know what? I wasn't prepared for that question. Because I know. I've listened to all of you on podcasts.
It's actually a new one that I'm actually going to start throwing in, so I'm testing it on you. But I am really interested in it. Because you can help us write your bio.
I want people to describe me? Maybe someone trying to help. Just a girl trying to help.
I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy.
trying to help young women, hopefully, who inspires girls to know that they can kind of do whatever they want as long as you work hard for it. And it's a hard one. I'm very sick of the you can do anything if you dream of it, whatever that saying is.
You can do anything you set your mind to.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. And I think there's a balance with that. I don't think that everything is. There's some work that, like, for example, maybe like being a Victoria's Secret model. Like, unfortunately, you can't just be that, because you have to look a certain way.
Speak for yourself.
Maybe we should make our own show.
As an aside to this, we were sitting with a guy who's in beauty pageants the other day, and we met him, and he was sitting across from us going, I'm going to scout that girl over there. And we're like, excuse me, we're sitting at this table. We could be in a beauty pageant. What are you trying to say?
You're sensing a theme. We want to be picked up. Oh, no, but I think that is, I mean, I think it's nice to sort of reflect on how you want people to describe you, because it's what you said. I think most people would say that about you anyway.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Maybe just, and that I like to make people happy. I think that's it. And one thing that I do hold myself to, and I think is so important in this industry, and it's something that I see a lot of, and it's not always the case, is that you should always treat everyone the same, no matter who they are. And in the industry, there's a lot of people that will only treat, you know, the head of the company well, and then all the staff they'll disrespect because they can't help them. But I think it's so important to treat everyone the same and remember that you never know what someone's going through, and to just be so wary of what you say, because you don't. And I think that sometimes we say things online and things like that, but you have to be really careful because you don't know what's going on at home with people. And yeah, just to be really conscious.
Do you put yourself under a lot of pressure then? Because it feels like you know, you have a big responsibility, which is amazing, like incredible, because I think it would help a lot of people if more influencers and more people with platforms realize the power that they have. Is that a lot for the mental load for you, feeling like you have such a responsibility all the time?
Yeah, I for sure. Like I get anxious about things sometimes. I definitely find it. But I feel like I can't not. I just feel like this responsibility. I just think back to 15-year-old me and what would have helped me. And I, sometimes it is with clients. The thing that we're really lucky with now is, because Keep It Cleaner is our main job and our main focus. It's hard when you start social media because you get offered money to post about something that you would never have got money before. I mean, when I first started, and the thing is, I think something else that we should remember is, and this is something that I'm starting to talk to myself about and why I'm going to be more open to sharing things, is when I first started social media, I edited my photos because everyone did. And well, that's what I thought. Everyone was doing it. And I remember, I reckon a Tetox brand sent me 10 tea bags. And I was like, oh my God, 10 free tea bags. I don't have to buy these. I'm going to do 10 posts for you. And that is something that I think it's really hard when you first start, when you are offered a certain amount of money to post for something and to say no to it, when it's like, well, I could work a whole week as a waitress, or I could do a post. And it's something that I've looked back on, and I wasn't always as conscious about things as I am now. But it is hard when you first start social media to not to say no to those things.
To be seduced by it completely.
Definitely. But now, because Keep It Cleaner is our main, is our business and that's our focus, I'm really lucky that I can be so selective on who I work with, and I have that power and that choice, and which everyone does. And I wish that I had have realized that I had that power earlier to choose who I work with and not associate myself with brands that don't have the same values as me, because it's really not worth it.
But I think that's an important point to make, even for the two of us, because for as much as we can have, or for as many conversations we can have about how influencers or whoever it might be have to be careful about the paychecks they sort of accept, it's also a case of talking to people in a really nice and respectful way about it. You don't want to scare people off or be angry all the time, because people are learning, and you can absolutely turn around and be like, I fucked up and I'm not going to do that again.
That's right.
And I think that's the crux of a lot of the conversations. Like, you often need to remember that people are flawed and people will make it. If you offer someone $5,000 or $2,000 or whatever it is to share a brand, yeah, they might say yes to it, and yeah, in hindsight, it might be a bad decision, but I'm not sure how many people could sit at a table and say no to that much money. Especially, it's even a privilege thing. Like, if you haven't seen that kind of money before in your life, and now you're being offered it just to share a photo of tea, you can see.
That's right. The decision I think process. That's definitely right. But I think now, hopefully, that there's a lot of products that no one should promote. You know, the diet pills, the we speak at schools sometimes, and we did this big talk, and this girl put her hand up and she said, so do those gummy bears actually make your hair grow? And I was like, oh my god, did you listen to what we said? Please repeat the question and tell me if you're going to ask it again. Do gummy bears make your hair grow? Not sure. Probably not. I really don't think so. I think, like, it would have been on TV if it did, and it's not. So no, they don't. I think there are a lot of things, and I know you've spoken a lot about what the Kardashians do, and that is just, I am so blown away by why they are still doing those posts, because they do not need money. And I mean, you shouldn't just do it because of that, but that confuses me. But I think that it's something that should be, and something that I'm starting to come to terms with. I'm scared to post things because I'm like, oh my god, but I bet you 5 years ago I did that.
Yeah.
But I think that, as you said, it's okay to make mistakes, and there's not, you can change now. Like, if you want to stop and be more conscious about what you're posting, it doesn't matter that last week you took a lot of money for something or you posted something, because it doesn't mean that you can't do something good.
Today's
from
a
now.
New day. Yeah.
So that's something that has been a fear of mine. People coming back and be like, oh my god, well, you did this 5 years ago, which I hope I didn't do too many things. And the tea I posted wasn't a weight loss tea, but it
everyone can go
tea,
back through your feed,
you know,
right now.
Yes. But the Daily Mail, being okay with, like, it's okay to start change now, and, you know, you can still change things.
No, I love that, and I think that's so true as well. We usually finish every episode in the same way, and I know you're laughing because you know this as well. You're like, yeah,
Mitch texted me last night. She goes, Laura, just so you know, you need to know who inspires you and
you've asked yourself the question.
And I was like, Mitch, I also need to know what I'm reading and listening to at the time, and I could probably write
it. Who does inspire you? I'm interested in that.
Okay, so there's a lot of people. I don't have one role model that I look up to. So there's just a lot of people in my life. So Steph is a huge one for me. I don't know of anyone else who has a million followers that is so real and open with their audience as Steph is. I think she's really courageous in that, and she also works extremely hard. Like, I think in the past 2 weeks she's literally had maybe 15 flights, and then she still makes it to the office. And so, yeah, Steph is a really big one for me. And I think she's also a good example of someone who is happy for others, which in Melbourne, a lot of people have tall poppy syndrome, which I'm sure now you start going to events and stuff and you probably have already experienced, can be really hard. But Steph is one person that she is, if you go to back in the modelling days, if you went to a job with her and you got it over her, she would be as equally happy for you as if she got it herself.
That is one of the most uniquely...
Exactly, because there's not many people
qualities,
like that.
And it is so such a lovely one when you find people that have it.
It's just amazing. And when you asked before, I mean, about how we work, I think that's also how we work so well together, about being defined as two, because we both support each other and want the best for each other so much that it doesn't
and
matter.
And that brings the best out of both of you
exactly
anyway.
Exactly right. So that's probably one. Double Steph is definitely one. The girls at our office, they inspire us. They're really hard workers, and I mean, their organization inspires us. If they're listening to this, they'll laugh. They are the most organized people I've ever met in my life. My mum inspires me. I mean, mum taught me that I could get anything that I wanted, you know, as we spoke about before, relatively and realistically, if I worked hard for it. So my mum, who actually listens to your podcast, I forgot to tell you, she actually, the other day we were at her house, and she was like, oh, Laura, did you know about this? And I was like, how do you know about that? Like, oh, Shameless. Yeah, the girls are talking.
What's your mom's name?
Julie.
Shout out to Julie.
Hi, Julie. She listens. She listens to the podcast. So I'm sure she'll be excited that I'm on it. And then people, who else do I look up to? People, I mean, a lot of people, I don't really have a lot of, I like my role models to be relative and close to me and actually achievable. I don't have many that, people like Michelle Obama, I'm reading her book at the moment as well, which is really good. Like, I definitely look up to her, but she probably wouldn't be my number one role model because I feel like she's so far from me that
she's
I
can't alien.
Achieve it. Yeah. So, yeah, people that are probably a little bit closer to my... I like Janine Allis-Lord actually because I feel like she's really realistic about what you actually have to do to start a business and that it's hard. And she's... When we met her, I'm so scared of her, but she was so awesome because she is just like, okay, well, you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do this. And so she's really real. She doesn't sell fluff. She's just... And I like that. I like that she's like that because I feel like there is a lot of... Sometimes on social media, people that sell businesses, like, it's so easy, and, you know, but she's good. So, yeah, people in my... I mean, I wish Jen was in my inner circle. She's not. But people that I've met and know are my role models, I think.
What's next for you? 2019, what's on the agenda?
Well, we're going into another platform, which will be really exciting.
What? You don't have to tell us, but that sounds interesting. Another platform.
Yes, that'll
like
be good for Kevin Kleiner.
It's like a riddle.
Oh, we are starting a podcast, yes, but it's going to be for young girls. So speak very similar to our book, we feel like.
So you're not launching a podcast for smart women who love dumb stuff? You could launch a competitor club.
Welcome into the space.
My vocabulary would not suffice. Sometimes I listen to you guys and I'm like, oh, I haven't heard. I literally sometimes write down words that you use and then I look them up. I'm like, I should use that.
Because Michelle actually like Googles dictionary stuff before we for big words.
So definitely not like that. But yeah, that we definitely would love to start a podcast this year and to speak about going through high school. And I think because I was afraid that young girls wouldn't listen to podcasts. But I think that they are. So we'll do that. And then we also want to go, we want to do a bit of a few events around Australia. And because we do a lot of events in Sydney and Melbourne, we get to meet our Sydney and Melbourne community for Keep It Cleaner, but we don't get to meet everyone around Australia. So that will be really cool to do that. So that's the goals for the year.
Big year.
Yeah,
I think every year for you is a big year, isn't it?
No, but same for you guys. I mean, you've grown your community to 8,000 people.
You don't have to handball every compliment back, Laura Henshaw.
How many months? No. How long? Episode 45?
It'll be coming up to a year. Oh, my God. You know, yeah, it is episode 45.
I'm not a real stalker, I promise.
I'm sorry, my computer.
We're coming up to a year. But, Laura, you have been an absolute delight. Oh, and we are so thrilled that you joined us and welcomed us into your home. And your beautiful dog, Billy, is
who
now fast
been
asleep.
In the room. This entire time and not made a sound.
He's just asleep. Look at him. He's
what a lie.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much. I think there is so much good that you do and so much good that young girls can get from you. And I think the more people that follow you, the better.
Thank you, guys. And I think the same for you. Mm. And everyone vote for the girls on the podcast award because it ends tonight at midnight and we need to be quick.
You didn't even pay her to say that, but sure.
Oh, I have one more thing. Oh, yes. On behalf of your community, I haven't asked them, but I feel like this is what they want. I think you should start doing 3 a week.
Okay. I need to stop working full time first, but sure. Then maybe.
Laura, thank you.
Thank you, girls.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to this In Conversation episode of Shameless. Like we keep banging on about, if you do have a spare minute, please vote for us in the Australian Podcast Awards. We would appreciate it so much. We had only had this podcast for less than a year, so to win that would just be a bloody dream come true. It will take 2 to 3 minutes of your time and we will love you forever and ever. We will post the link in our Instagram bio at Shameless Podcast. Otherwise, you can find us in the Facebook group, Shameless Podcast Community. If you want to follow Laura, of course, you probably already do. She's one of the best influencers in Australia. Her handle is at laura.henshaw. She is part of Keep It Cleaner. They are also on Instagram. They've got a Facebook group. So go check all of that out. We love Laura and we love what she stands for. And we cannot thank her enough for being on this episode with us. We really appreciate it, Laura. We love you. So we'll see you guys on Monday for a regular episode of Shameless.